Today is a new day. It will bring brand new blessings and brand new battles. But within every uncertainty, there is hidden possibility. So I don't dread any challenge that lies ahead, because I remember all the victories behind. And my confidence is not in my circumstance. The Spirit of God is my supply. I'm steady under pressure, and I'm ready for whatever, because whatever comes my way today, the outcome is I overcome. Christ is in me. I am enough. I can handle it. I can't afford to stay afraid or let my faith hesitate. My purpose is at stake. And he who called me is faithful. His strength in me is greater than any pain I feel or enemy I face. The promise of God is mine for the taking. Every plan he has made is guaranteed to come to pass. It will happen. If I don't back down, if I won't let go, it will happen. If I don't stop short, if I won't sell out, it will happen by faith. But faith doesn't take the fear away. It teaches me to fight it. So bring the battle. I'm ready now. I got something for Goliath. I can handle it. My power flows from presence. So I won't stay stuck in what was or worry about what will be. My regrets have been redeemed, and my tests have become my lessons. My focus is fixed, and my heart is expectant. I'm set. I'm not nervous about what's next, cause my eyes are on the throne. I trust the one who's in complete control, the one who already knows how he's gonna work it according to his purpose. Even the worst situations are sure to turn in my favor. If I keep moving forward, keep moving toward him, God is with me in this moment. And whatever happens, I can handle it. I know my help comes from above. So if fear insists on knocking, I'll meet it at the door. Life might give me bad news, but I've still got a good report. I can handle it. If I fall, if I fail, grace will give me what it takes to carry on. I can handle it. I have humbled myself under the mighty hand of God. Christ is in me. I am enough. And when the time is right, he'll lift me up. Till then, the lion may roar, but I see his leash. So I keep moving forward, cause I've been down before, but my hope knows how to bounce back from rock bottom. What I need, God's got it.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring on 2020 in his name. Who's ready? Yeah, you're like, man, I wasn't ready before that, but now I'm ready. I wish we could show a video like that before every time I preach, right? Man, I'm so ready. We are going after something this year, starting off in 2020, that is one of the most important things we could ever go after, and that is being stronger in our faith. And throughout this series, we're going to talk about being stronger in our marriages, in our relationships, being stronger as a church, as a people of God who are doing this thing together. And I'm so excited. But I feel like you probably have one of two responses to that video right there. The first group of people are like, yeah, let's get stronger. Ah, you know? Maybe raise your hand if you're in that group. Like, yeah. But then there's a whole other group that's like, sounds exhausting. Right? Maybe raise your hand if you're in that group. It's okay. It's all right. Maybe the holidays were rough. You're like, I don't want to get stronger right now. I want to lay down and take a nap. And if you're in that group, that's okay. In fact, pay attention to point number three today. When we get there, that one's for you. But what if I told you that this year you could be so strong, so strong, so strong, that you could resist any temptation? What if I told you this year you could be so strong that you could conquer any fear you've ever had? What if I told you this year you could be so strong that you could achieve any calling, that anything that God calls you to, you could do it? What if I told you this year you could be so strong that you could endure any hardship, pain, or loss that this year threw at you? What if I told you that this year you could be so strong you could overcome any obstacle, make any mountain move? Well, I believe that that type of strength is not natural. It's supernatural. But it's not only possible for every single person in this room, it's also accessible to every single person in this room, and you have access to that type of strength right now. And I want to talk to you about this, and you have to understand, if you're going to understand what type of strength I'm talking about, it's not a natural type of strength. It doesn't exist within you. In fact, there was a man in Scripture, one of the strongest Christians who ever lived, wrote about this type of strength. And he said, he called it the secret. The secret. He learned the secret of true strength. And I want to read this to you. It's in the book of Philippians. If you have a Bible and want to Philippian on over there to Philippians, chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 12. And the Apostle Paul's writing to this church, and he says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Man, I don't know about you, but I need some of that. How many of you would love to know the secret of being content in any and every situation? What he's saying is, my contentment, my satisfaction, my happiness, my joy, my peace, it's not in my circumstances. It's not in whether or not life is good right now. It's not in whether or not I'm going through something hard or something easy. That's not where my contentment is. I've learned the secret, no matter what's coming in my life, that I can be content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And this is the secret, and this is what I want to talk to you about today. The secret of his contentment. Listen to this. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Can we just read that together and say it with some gusto this morning? Okay, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. One more time, like you mean it, like if you say it, the louder you say it, the more it's going to empower you, as if that were really true, okay? Come on, like you mean it. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen. Amen. This guy, Paul, he was saying his strength in Christ was the secret to his contentment in any and every situation. This guy, Paul, was once on a ship. They were taking him. He was actually a prisoner. They had arrested him. He was on this ship and they were taking him, and this violent storm came up, and God let him know, this storm is so bad, this ship is going to be totally destroyed. You're going to have to swim for your life, but don't worry, you're not going to die, right? He's saying, I've learned to be content in any and every situation. And when he sees that storm coming, he's like, God's got this. It's all right. And he starts telling people what to do in order to survive. He's just like, I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength. It was the secret of his contentment and satisfaction. But the secret to his contentment and satisfaction was the secret of true strength. And the secret of true strength is that it's not in you. It's not in me. The source of our strength, the secret of our strength, is that it is in our relationship with Christ. And so through this series, we're going to be talking about, how to have stronger marriages, how to have stronger families, how to be a stronger church together. But today I want to focus on how we can strengthen our relationship with Christ, because our relationship with Christ is everything. It's everything. And listen, If you focus on your relationship with Christ, and if you get stronger in your relationship with Christ, what I've discovered in my life is every other area in my life gets stronger. Because watch this, when I focus on my relationship with Jesus, Jesus goes, oh, hey, how's your wife doing? You know, my daughter, Erica, the one I love, you taking good care of her, you know? It's like, you know about her too? Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, how you doing with your kids? Are you training them up in the way they should go? Okay. How are you managing the finances that I've entrusted you with? You know, I speak about all this in my word. It's like, that's right. And man, when I seek Jesus and my relationship with him, he tells me, Aaron, love your wife as I love the church and lay down your life for her. You know, he tells my wife on her own when she's seeking him, you know, you need to respect your husband, help him, encourage him, pray for him. Now, you think if we both do that, what's going to happen to our marriage? It's going to get stronger, isn't it? You know, if you do what Jesus tells you in your marriage, if you do what Jesus tells you in your finances, if you do what Jesus tells you in parenting your children, man, every area in your life gets stronger when you focus on your relationship with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul gets to the place where he's like, man, he's so confident. Listen, not in his strength or his ability. He's so confident in Jesus. He's so confident that no matter what he faces, he knows Jesus will come through for him. That he gets to the point where he's writing a letter to a church and goes, hey, I can do all things through Christ. He's like, I can endure anything. I can overcome anything. I can handle anything life throws at me through Christ who gives me strength. And I just wanna let you know, if you're new to church and this whole Apostle Paul dude is new to you, this is not some naive young man, you know, who's a little too confident in himself, going, you know, at 20 years old, oh, I can take whatever life throws at me. Ah, you know, I'm a strong young buck. No, Paul had been humbled. In fact, he writes a letter to another church in 2 Corinthians 11, and he gives them just a little bit of information about what he's been through, the types of hardships he's had to suffer and endure. And I want to read this to you. This is 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 29. He says, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one, 39 whips, 5 different times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. That account is in the book of Acts. He was knocked unconscious. He was stoned. Some scholars believe he was stoned to death because it says the believers circled around him and then he came back awake. And some scholars believe he was stoned to death because he was caught up and had a vision, right? Some scholars believe that's when that happened, like near-death experience. And then they prayed him back to life. 3 times, he says, I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He's like, I'm going through all this because of Jesus. And there are times when I'm like, is it even working? Are people even listening? Are they even being strengthened through my ministry? And then he says this, who is weak? And I don't feel weak. He's like, you don't think I struggle with temptation and anxiety and fear and worry? He's like, who is led into sin? And I don't inwardly burn. I mean, this is a man who has been through such horrific hardship. You just consider that list right there. He's probably been through more suffering and pain than probably anyone in this room. Probably. There's probably few people on earth who've been through more difficulties than the Apostle Paul. And it was after having been through all of that, that he writes this verse in Philippians 4. And he goes, hey, I know what it is to have a good season, have plenty, and life's going well. People get saved when I preach, and it's great. I know what that's like, and I'm content with that. It's great. It's easy to be content in those seasons. But I know what it's like to be in want, and to suffer. And he goes, I'm content in any and every situation, and here's why. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the type of strength that we're going after this year. He wrote it another way in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That phrase there, be strong in the Lord, it literally means to increase in strength. Get stronger and stronger in the Lord, not in and of yourself, in Jesus, in your relationship with him, because Jesus is the source of all our strength. Jesus talked about the flip side of this in John 15, 5. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. But then he said this, apart from me, you can do nothing. Right? And so think about this. Apart from Christ, we can do absolutely nothing of lasting value. Through Christ, Paul says in Philippians 4, I can do what? All things. Apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Through Christ, I can withstand any temptation. Through Christ, I can fulfill any calling, achieve anything he calls me to. Through Christ, I can endure any hardship, overcome any obstacle through Christ. But apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Apart from Christ, I'll give in to temptation and sin. Apart from Christ, I will fail to fulfill my purpose and my calling, because so often his calling is beyond our own ability. Without Christ, apart from Christ, I'll get so discouraged and depressed when life gets hard that I give up. Apart from Christ. But through Christ, I can do anything. Through him who gives me strength. Our strength comes from Christ. He is the source of all our strength. And so I want to spend the rest of our time today talking about three things that you need to do. You have some responsibility in this. It's really a type of positioning yourself to receive Christ's strength. But I want to tell you three things that you need to do if you want to experience the strength of Jesus in your life, to strengthen your relationship with him. And we're going to start kind of simple, but we're going to pick up in intensity as we go along. And so number one, you have to practice spiritual disciplines, and not just like tomorrow. Like consistently practice spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are things like scripture reading, prayer, meditation, fasting, simplicity, solitude, Sabbath rest, service, worship, gathering together with other believers. These are the spiritual disciplines. And I could spend so much time talking about all of these, but I just want to talk about one habit that you need to practice in your life. And it's practicing a couple, really probably two or three different spiritual disciplines all at the same time. And that is developing the habit of getting in the Word of God first thing in the morning, every single morning, at least 5 to 6 days a week. Okay? It's what we would call a daily devotion time or a daily quiet time with Jesus. And I highly, highly, highly recommend that you do this first thing in the morning. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, you are my God, early I will seek you. Jesus, it says in Mark 1:35, very early in the morning when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It says he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus had a habit of getting alone with his heavenly Father. And listen, I've just learned in my life, I think Psalm 5 verse 3 says, in the morning I lay my prayers before you and wait in eager expectation. There's this pattern we see in scripture, and in my life I've seen it most beneficial if you do it first thing in the morning, because when you wake up, whatever you focus on first will kind of set the tone of your mindset for the rest of the day. And so if you focus on God and his presence and his word first thing, it sets the course of your whole day. You are more aware of his presence as you go throughout his day. You'll have conversations at work and be like, oh, that's like what I read this morning. Oh, maybe I'm supposed to share my faith with this person. Maybe I should invite them to church. Oh, maybe I should pray for you. Can I pray for you right now? You know, like it just focuses your whole day, sets your whole day in his presence. And you're just more aware. You're more focused And you're more aware of some of the divine appointments that he has for you that day. When you do it first thing in the morning. If you're new to this type of thing, I know a lot of you do this and do it regularly. If you're new to church, if you're new to God today, think about it this way. If you're starting a new workout program and you've never worked out in your life, do you immediately go try to run a marathon? Not if you're smart. Do you immediately try to deadlift 500 pounds? Not if you're smart. You start with what your body can handle. Well, when you're new to Jesus, you start with what your spirit can handle. It might be a chapter. Start with one chapter. I would recommend a chapter in one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, okay? Because Scripture says our life is in Christ. And so read about his life. Read about what Jesus did while he was here, the things he said, the things he taught. Just read one chapter. It will literally take you 5 or 10 minutes to read one chapter. And then pray for like 2 minutes. It does not take long to pray about your day and just say it very simply as if God's your friend sitting right next to you. If you're pressed for time, get up, get showered, get in the car, and listen to an audio Bible. YouVersion, the Bible app, has the Bible on audio for free. You can download it. It's really, really, you don't have to download it. You can stream it. They have all kinds of reading plans in there. So check that out. Develop that habit, okay, in your life. Spend time with Jesus. Getting stronger in your relationship with Christ, it's a relationship. And how do you get stronger in any relationship? You can't unless you spend time with that person. Get to know his story. History is his story. The Bible records the history of God among his people. It reveals his ways. It reveals the design of life, how he designed us to operate, you know? It's kind of like if you want to understand who you are, you're made in the image of God. Understand who he is. It's so important. All scriptures God breathed. It's useful for training us in righteousness and fully equipping the man of God for every good work. I mean, I can't talk highly enough. This has been the single greatest spiritual discipline that has blessed my life the most. In fact, we're sitting here today because of this spiritual discipline in my life. Because back in the fall of 2008, I got up, did my normal daily devotion, wasn't expecting anything. Like, oh, you know, it's Wednesday. It was a Wednesday, by the way. My daughter was sick. I stayed home. I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to read some more. You know, I'm on Matthew chapter 28. Well, yeah, I know what's coming. I've read this dozens of times. You know, Great Commission. All right, da, 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 da. And I read it, and the Holy Spirit just was like, boom. Oh, you think you've read this before? How about this? Boom, you know. I want you to go and make disciples. And the Holy Spirit lit me up that day. And I immediately, first thought was, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to go back and start a church back where I'm from in Ohio. And that moment is what initiated this right here back in 2008. And guys, I've got dozens and dozens of stories like that where I'm sitting in my morning devotion going, oh my goodness. You know, sermon series where I'm like, oh, we're going to teach on this and this month and all. And then I'm reading Jesus like, no, you're not. You're going to preach on this. And I'm like, okay. You know, it's like, man, he will direct your life. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. That's your daily bread is the word of God. You got to get in his presence. I can't encourage you enough. Starting next week, again, if you've always had a hard time struggling with, you know, developing that habit, I struggled for many, many years as a young man. It's like, well, I know I should, but I just couldn't make myself type of thing. We're coming into a really special season that will help you if you've struggled with that. And that's 21 days of prayer and fasting. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. It starts next Sunday, by the way. It goes through February 1st. So you got a week to prepare. Get ready. And we've done this every single year to start the new year since we started as a church. This is our sixth time doing it as a church. 21 days of prayer and fasting. It's starting our whole day, our whole year out going, Jesus, we're seeking you this year. It's not what we want. It's what you want. What do you want for us as a church this year? What do you want for my family? What do you want for me? I want to focus on Jesus this year in a greater way. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where you deny yourself some type of food. And in our culture, we always want to do some type of media as well. Think about it. They didn't have to fast media in Bible times because they didn't have it, right? We are bombarded with media, and our culture is so noisy. And if you want to hear that gentle voice, that still small whisper of God, man, you got to turn down the noise sometimes. And fasting is a spiritual discipline where you disconnect with the things of the world so that not to just, so you hate life. Like, oh, I'm not eating good food right now. I hate life. I guess that makes God happy, right? Self-denial. No, you deny yourself to seek God in a greater way. It helps focus you. It helps. It's cross training for your soul, is what it is. And so you deny yourself some type of food. If you're new to fasting, I would recommend sweet foods, candy, desserts and whatnot, and pop and stuff like that. Just don't eat or drink that, so that you'll focus on God in a greater way. And you'll be blown away if you've never fasted. How often you're focused on right here. I call it mental bandwidth. How can I feed myself, literally? And how much of you're feeding yourself is not fueling your body, but it's pleasuring yourself, comforting yourself. And you go through a season of fast and you find that out really, really quickly. And when you deny yourself physically, it helps you deny yourself spiritually so that you can focus on God in a greater way. And so fasting, some type of food, if you want to go next level, do a full Daniel fast, eat only vegetables and fruit, drink only water for 21 days. That'll be mind-blowing if some of you want to take that challenge on. That's kind of next level. And then also fast some sort of media. And so highly recommend TV and movies and social media. Fast all of it if you want to go next level. Fast whichever type of media consumes the most of your time and energy and stresses you out. Stresses you out. You know, you get on, oh, Facebook is the devil, but for some reason I spend 7 hours a day on it. Oh, I hate my life. Oh, the government. And get off of it, all right, for 21 days. And read your Bible. The average American, spends 2 to 4 hours a day watching TV? And so turn down the noise, get in his word. You'll be amazed at how you can hear him. At how he'll guide you through that. You'll have some revelation. You'll have some guidance. And I just highly, highly recommend that. And then after the fast, you know, you kind of settle back into normal life. But please keep that spiritual discipline of seeking him first thing in the morning every day. That'll just bless your life. It'll help you get to know Jesus in a greater way. It'll make you stronger in him. And everything is about abiding in him when it comes to spiritual strength. So that's number one. Second thing you have to do if you want to get stronger in Christ and experience his strength in your life, you have to persevere. Amen. Persevere means stop giving up. So many people, they might come to church on Christmas, you know, have a great experience, like, oh yeah, I should get back in church. January's coming, New Year's resolution, I'm back in January. And then by February, March, I'm back out again. Why? Life got hard. Life got hard. Listen to this. James chapter 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work, or let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. How do you get strong in your relationship with Christ? Listen to me. By persevering through hardship with Jesus. Think about it this way in your body. If you want to get stronger, you want to go to the gym and work out, right? So you go. Maybe some of you try that, you know, as a New Year's resolution and you worked out and you're like, this is hard. It hurts. I'm not going back, right? If you work out one time and don't go back, are you going to get stronger? No. Workouts are work. Workouts are hardships that you're putting your body through. And if you persevere in them, you'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know all those hardships I told you about, what the Apostle Paul went through, being beaten and whipped and shipwrecked and imprisoned and all that stuff? I firmly believe that's what created the strength in his relationship with Jesus to the point that he got to Philippians 4 and said, man, a storm's coming? Ooh, I've been through worse. You know, I've kind of gotten to this point recently, where people are like, oh, Pastor Aaron, I feel like the Lord's telling me spiritual warfare is coming. The enemy's going to attack. Ooh. And that used to freak me out until I went through, you know, about 10 years of being attacked every day. And I'm like, I live on the front lines. I don't know where you're at back on the, you know, retreating wherever you are. I'm on the front lines every day. I get attacked every day. I know he's going to attack. I don't care anymore. I want to focus on Jesus. All right. I'm going to put my armor on and I got nothing to worry about because I'm focusing on him and I can do all things through Christ. It's persevering through the hardships that created Paul's strength in his relationship with Christ. You know what the difference is between a strong Christian and everybody else? It's not that they don't have hardships in their life and they just have an easy walk. In fact, some of the strongest Christians I've ever met have been through the worst hardships and sufferings. It's not that they don't fail and stumble. Some of the strongest Christians I've ever met have sinned in the worst ways. So what is the difference between a strong Christian and everybody else? You know what it is? It's how they respond to hardship. It's how they respond to even their own failures. They turn to Jesus instead of running away. And you do that enough times, and it starts to build your strength in Jesus, your confidence in him. Another word for faith is confidence, trust in the relationship. So you want to know one of the things that has given me the most confidence in Jesus, in my relationship with him? This is going to sound crazy for just a minute, but please hang with me till I explain it. When I've sinned after becoming a Christian. Just going to let that settle. We so easily forgive sin to one another before. Well, they didn't know Jesus. I mean, Paul killed Christians. He didn't know Jesus. So it's okay. He killed Christians. Well, he didn't know Jesus yet. It's all right. Don't we do that with one another? It's like horrible lifestyle. Oh, came to Christ. It's okay. It's all forgiven. But then you stumble. And it's nothing near what you used to do, but you stumble one little way. And maybe even no one else knows, and you're your worst critic, and you're just like, oh, I'm done. Oh, Jesus is going to slay me and send me to hell for sure. But you know what I've found in those moments when I go to him and I readily confess and I readily go, Jesus, you know, you already know I messed this up. Can you help me? Can you forgive me again? You know what I get every single time? Grace. Grace strengthens me. Jesus told a story, and the point was, he that is forgiven much loves much. And the more Jesus forgives me, the more I love him and the less I want to sin on my own, in my own willpower. It builds my own willpower to not want to do it anymore through wisdom. It's crazy. Jesus will use anything and everything to strengthen your faith if you turn to him. He'll even use your own failures. God doesn't view your failures the way you do. He doesn't come to you when you sinned and go, why'd you do that? He knows why. He knows why. The very first sin, he didn't say, why'd you do that? What did he say? Where are you? Where'd you go? Why are you hiding? We sinned. I know. Why are you hiding? He wants to draw us in, especially when we've messed up. He'll come to you when you failed, and he doesn't say, why'd you do that? He'll say, what'd you learn? Okay, I forgive you. I love you. He'll pick you back up, dust you off. Let's keep going. You're stronger now, aren't you? You're wiser now, aren't you? Yep. You just keep going. That's how God views your failure. We have to redefine how we view hardship and how we view failure. And there's this lie that we believe in the church, and we actually think it's scripture, and it causes us to run from God. It causes us to get mad at God. You've probably heard it before. Somebody's probably told you this before. You may have even said this to someone at some point, thinking it's an actual Bible verse because it sounds so good. It's this right here. Well, you know, God will never give you more than you can handle. Anybody ever told you that while you're currently going through something that you can't handle? That's a lie, man. That is not in the book. I've looked several times in many translations. It's not in there. It's a Facebook meme. It's not a scripture. That's not God's word. And the problem is when you believe that and you go through something hard, you do one of two things. You either get mad at God because he's not doing what you thought he was going to do, or you get so discouraged you want to give up and you're like, well, he must not care about me. Not answering my prayers. I'm not going back. I don't feel like getting in the word today. It's not working. I've tried getting in the word. It doesn't work. You give up. Because you think, you bought into the lie that Christianity was about making your life easier. Our example was beaten beyond recognition, scripture says, and then nailed to a cross. And he looked at the people who wanted to follow him and said, hey, if you want to follow me, pick up your own cross and let's go. It's not about making life easier. Then what's the benefit? What's in it for us? I don't know if you know the rest of the story, but 3 days later, he was so strong, he got up out of that grave and said, nothing's going to hold me down. And he looked at his disciples. You want a promise from God? He said, in this world, you will have trouble. You don't find that in your nice little cute little God's promise book, do you? That's a promise. In this world, you will have trouble. You will have hardship. Stop praying to get out of it. Start praying to have strength to go through it. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome. Jesus is stronger than anything, even the grave. And he gives that strength to those who trust in him. God will never give you more than you can handle. That's just not true. In fact, let me just read it to you in scripture. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 8 and 9. Paul says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. He's like, what he's saying is, you ever been in a season that feels overwhelming, but you realize it's not really overwhelming, you just feel like it's overwhelming? You know what I mean? Paul's saying, no, this was overwhelming. It didn't just feel overwhelming. It was far beyond our ability to endure. Indeed, verse 9, we felt we'd receive the sentence of death, but this happened. Read that. But God had a purpose. And here's the purpose. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. God will give you more than you can handle sometimes. Amen. To teach you that you don't have what it takes. To teach you to turn to him, to rely on him. And to teach you most of all that he loves you so much that if you will turn to him, he will gladly help you. And that's why Hebrews 12 verse 7 says this, endure hardship. It's talking about any and all hardship and temptation you may ever face in your life. That's what that word means. Any kind of hardship, any kind of temptation. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. The word discipline there does not mean punishment. That's another mistake. Well, horrible things are happening. God's probably punishing me because I didn't follow him when I was younger. God's probably punishing me because I got divorced. But God's probably punishing me because I wasn't good enough, perfect enough for him. That's not what your hardships are. In the new covenant, there's no punishment. Jesus took all the punishment. There's only discipline. The word means all the training and instruction for the education of a child. That's what that word means. God doesn't view your hardship as punishment. It's not punishment. He wants you to view it as training. As training. So when you mess up, when you fail, when you're going through something hard, it's training. What'd you learn? If you turn to Christ through it, he will make you stronger through it. It's training. Turn to Christ. So how do you respond when things get hard? How do you respond when you've messed up? And man, that's the hardest because your shame and guilt will make you want to, like, I've screwed you. I know it's my fault. I've screwed this up. But man, you got to turn to Christ. You got to turn to Christ. And you got to develop that habit of turning to Christ. And here, I want to encourage you with this. Perseverance itself is not hard. What you're going through is hard. That is hard. You know what perseverance? Perseverance is not you have to fix it all yourself. Perseverance is just showing up. Perseverance is just not giving up. Perseverance is just getting up and going, okay, Jesus, I need your help. What are we going to do? Okay, Jesus, I need you to come through. That's perseverance. Just sticking out. Just don't give up on God. And he will come through. He will fight your battles. He'll bring the healing. And sometimes he has things for you to do to grow you and get you stronger. But listen, just don't give up. The only way you can lose as a Christian is if you give up. So you got to persevere. And that's how we get stronger, is by persevering with him through hardships. The last thing you have to do if you want to get stronger in Christ, and I'll be honest with you, I think these are getting progressively more difficult and more intense in the actual experience of living these out. So this is the hardest one, but this will, if you learn this one and if you do it, it'll bring about the greatest strength. Number three, you have to admit and even embrace your weaknesses. You have to admit and even embrace your weaknesses. It sounds crazy and counterintuitive because, especially for us men in the room, you know, as people, we tend to downplay, ignore, or hide our weaknesses and play to our strengths. Even if we have a weakness, we act like we don't, or we just avoid it and just try to show our strengths to people and to God even. But that's not true strength. And God will lead you through experiences and seasons where he's exposing your weakness, and he doesn't bring those things up to shame you. He brings them up to heal you, because he wants to use that weakness to actually make you strong in him. The Apostle Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 12:7-10. He said, "Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me." I just want to point out, it says I was given, which means it was a gift. Now, I don't think Paul thought it was a gift at the time. In fact, he goes on to say, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. It was a gift wrapped in disguise, wrapped in pain, suffering. We don't know what the thorn in the flesh was. Some scholars believe it was a physical ailment like blindness or pain, physically, chronic pain. Some scholars believe it was a mental, emotional anguish with either fear, anxiety, depression. Some believe it was a temptation, being tempted sexually. Paul was a single man, because he actually alludes to those things in other places in Scripture. Romans 7, for example. So we don't know exactly what it was. He definitely viewed it as a weakness. And he asked God to take it away from me. And isn't that what we do so often? Hey, God, I'm weak in this area. Can you just take that away from me? You just take this out of my life? And God actually told him no. And it wasn't because God was punishing him. In fact, God was going to use this to bless him in a mighty, mighty way. Because God is good, and everything God does is good. If you trust him, he'll work all things together for your good, Romans 8:28. And so he says to Paul, this was his answer, 3 times, will you take this away? God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. Paul learns this lesson. He realizes this is true, and he says, therefore, in the next verse, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, listen to this, this is next level. I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Would you say that with me? When I am weak, then I am strong. Would you look at your neighbor and tell him, when you're weak, you're perfectly positioned to experience the fullness of God's strength. God's strength in your life, supernatural strength to resist any temptation, endure any hardship, overcome any obstacle, achieve any calling. God's strength starts precisely where your strength ends. Your weakness is a gift that forces you to rely on Jesus. And if you will ever embrace that, not just once for salvation, definitely that, but I mean through every hardship you ever go through, if you will embrace that, you would agree with that and you would give it a hearty amen. I was talking with someone a few months ago about how I'm in this season of being more confident in my faith than I ever have been, being more confident in my ministry and just as a man of God, as a husband, father, leader, all that, than I ever have been in my life. And they were just asking me, well, how'd you get that way? And I was like, well, how did I get to this place? And it caused me to reflect. And I realized I got to this place, to put it very succinctly, through about what was about 10 years of debilitating hardship and difficulty in many, many, many different ways. It kind of started right when I came back to faith in Christ, and I had been in a season of not even living for Jesus and thought I was going to die one night, and I wasn't sure where I was going to go if I died. So I was like, Jesus, if you let me live, my life is yours. And he saved me that night. I got up the next morning and I was different, but I was broken over how I had been living for a few years. I was humbled. I was like, I'm nothing, man. I suck. And it forced me into the scriptures every day. I read the Bible in about 6 or 8 months in that season. And Jesus met me there. He began restoring me. And I gave him every area of my life except one, which was a stronghold of lust, pornography, and that kind of stuff. And a couple years later, Jesus literally set me up. He gave my wife a dream that caused a conversation, and I had no choice but to confess to her what I'd struggled with since I started puberty. And I was broken again. You can ask my wife. For about 2 years, I could not look any female in the eyes because I so feared my propensity to go astray. And he was restoring me from that. We graduated college. I was just getting to the place where I felt like good, you know. And then I went to try to get a job after graduating college. Took me over a year. I finally got a job that I hated and had very low pay. And I was like, Lord. And that season forced me back into the Word of God in a way that the previous seasons hadn't. And we're just working on another area of my life. And he called me to ministry, and I got into that. And I was like, oh, I found my calling. This is so awesome. I love to preach. Who knew that I would preach? This is great. And then on May 24th, 2009, I had a mental breakdown while preaching. And it was, I didn't know it at the time, but it was massive spiritual warfare. I had no idea what was happening. Complete mental breakdown. I did not want to continue in ministry. I never wanted to preach again. The only thing that kept me in ministry for about the next 2 years was a paycheck. Because my wife was pregnant with our second child, and I was like, we'll be homeless if I quit, so I'm gonna just stick at it. Did not enjoy showing up at church for about 2 years, and I worked there. It took me about 5 years to fully recover from that. And just about that time, when I think I'm getting back on my feet, God's like, okay, Gideon, take 300 guys and go fight hundreds of thousands of people. I'll be with you. That's what it felt like when he's like, go start a church. And part of me was excited, but then we got into it. And it was about another 3 years of feeling completely overwhelmed in every way and totally insecure and feeling totally incapable in and of myself, because I am totally incapable in and of myself. And that forced me back into the Word and back into His presence and back into Him. in a different way than the other previous. You add all that up, it was about 10 years of daily feeling the weight of the world, of daily feeling broken, of feeling like I don't have what it takes. And now I'm to this place where I'm strong and confident, and I realize I'm not strong and confident in myself. The greatest gift all that gave me was making me painfully aware of how incredibly weak I am, which has driven me into I look now, I'm addicted to Jesus. Every morning I get up, I gotta get in the Word first thing. I have to. If I miss a day or two, I get upset. You know, I'm on edge. I start feeling the weight and I'm like, I gotta get back in there. And I was thinking the other day, like, I wasn't like that in college. In college, I was kind of doing whatever I wanted, playing video games and doing, you know, just having fun. And I might read the Bible a couple times a week, right? But I wasn't like that. Man, now it's like I'm addicted to Jesus. I need this because I'm painfully aware of how weak I am without Him. What's strong is my relationship with Him. I see storms coming now and I'm like, I've been through it, whatever. God's with me, He'll take care of it. It's gonna be fine. You know? One of my kids the other night was afraid to go out to the car and get something because it was nighttime. This is my son. And he's 10. I'm like, you're 10, dude, just go get it. And his mom's like, he's scared, you go with him. She's like, it's scriptural, God is with you, you go with him. I'm like, no, he needs to learn to be a man. Boy, go get the thing, you're fine, what are you scared of? And I'm kind of laughing. And they're like, daddy, you're scared of stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not. I was like, I'm not scared of anything. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm not scared of anything. And my daughter, Sayla, goes, yeah, you are. You're scared of the devil. And I literally, it was just visceral reaction. I just started laughing. I was like, I am not scared of the devil. Pick something else. She's like, you're scared of spiders. I'm like, okay, you might have me there. I'm not scared of the devil. I'm not scared of any battle. I'm not scared of some spiritual warfare is coming your way. Ooh. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. I say bring it on. If Satan wants to find out what it's like to get his butt kicked by a son of man, bring it on. Oh, he's much more powerful than me in the spiritual, in and of myself. But he's not more powerful than me and Jesus. And I've been through just enough warfare to know my daddy is never leaving me and he's got my back. And as my lovely wife wrote this week, that I fling those stones in weakness, but the wind of God lands them with the authority of Christ on Goliath's forehead. So I don't care what 2020 is bringing my way. I know I can handle all things through Christ who gives me strength. And what totally convinced me of that was all the hardships I've been through that have convinced me of my weakness. And you get to that place and you realize your weakness really is a gift. If you'll turn to Jesus and depend on His strength. Amen. Would you guys stand with me? Some of you who are here today, the ones who felt exhausted watching that video, you're like, that sounds exhausting. If you're worn out, if you're broken, if you're going through something really difficult today, I have really good news for you. When you're weak, you're perfectly positioned to experience His strength, maybe more so than any of us in this room. And so I want us all to say this together because I believe there's power in declaring the truth of God's word. Here's what's true for all of us in 2020. Say this with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can take anything life throws at me in 2020. I can take it. I can handle it. I can do it. I can give it. I can give it up. I can let it go. I can surrender it. I can confess it. I can forgive them. I can heal from this. I can overcome all the power of the enemy. I can move any mountain in Jesus' name. I can resist any temptation. I can weather any storm. I can accomplish whatever he calls me to through him who gives me strength. Amen. Amen. I don't know what this year holds for you, but I do know this. With Christ, you can do all things, but without him, you can't do anything. So let's turn to him right now. Jesus, we love you. We turn to you in our hearts and our minds. We give you all of our lives. We invite you into every part of ourselves, to the depths of our soul. Your word says you desire truth in the inmost parts. So we invite you in. God, if there's any sin in those inmost parts, we just confess it to you right now. We give it to you. We say, uproot it out of our lives. If there's any idolatry, any desire for things that aren't of you because we are deceived and we think that somehow they're going to help us or make our lives better or more comfortable in a greater way than you would, Jesus, I just pray that you would uproot that and get that out of our lives right now, Jesus. Convict us in a mighty way. God, if there's any brokenness, any wounds in those inmost parts, God, in people in this room, I know there is, and I just pray that you would bring healing in a mighty, mighty way and let it begin today, that you would heal your people. And God, we invite you into our marriages. We invite you into our families. We invite you into this church. This is your church, Jesus. Have your way in us and in this church in 2020. We invite you in. We want your will. We want your purposes done in our lives. And we want you more than anything. Jesus, I pray for these people that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen all of them with power through your spirit in their inmost being, so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. And I pray that all of these people being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that they may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power and strength that is at work within us, to you, Jesus, be glory in our church and in our lives for throughout all generations, and let it start with our generation. And all God's people who agreed said, amen.